Are you here? Where are you? Some people are sitting here, but they're not here. You say, that don't make sense. Yes, it does. Your mind is 100 miles away. Amen? You need to pray for me this morning. The devil wants to fight me. He's been fighting me all last year. And I'm determined I will not be denied. I will not be denied what God has for me. Hallelujah. How many know who we are? You can say, yeah, we're Church of God. What does that mean to you? What's it mean to you? We say Church of God. What do you say Assembly of God? Pentecostal Church of God. Church of God of Prophecy. A member of the body of Christ, true. But there's one other thing. We're Pentecostal. Uh-oh. I said a word that sometimes we don't want to hear. We're Pentecostal. Penta means 50 days after Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. They met where? They met in the upper room. 120 came together in the upper room. And they were there for 10 days. And they were told to go there and tarry for the promise. The promise. When's the last time you tarried for the promise? Don't misunderstand me this morning. The first step in our lives as Pentecostals is to be born again and know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Is to be born again. We become a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's some teachings out there that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you get saved. No. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a definite work that takes place after salvation. When we seek it, it's not. You know, I've seen individuals get baptized in the Holy Spirit. They come to the altar, they gave their life to Jesus Christ, and was filled with baptized in the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues at the same time. And then there's those that struggle to receive it. Some want to say, well, they must have sin in their life. That's not true. It could possibly be true. But a lot of times it's a struggle for us and the human side of us to receive what God has for us. How many understand what I'm saying? Because it's something we don't understand. And on the human side of us in our mind, we want to know. You know, I got to know this or I got to know that. But when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, none of us know what God's going to do. Because, you see, I didn't receive it in the church. I didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the church. I received it 1,500 feet underground in the mines. You can receive it going down the highway in your car. You can receive it in your home. My brother, who was born deaf, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in his bedroom. The Holy Spirit, He is everywhere. He's our teacher. He's our instructor. We cannot do without the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ said, I will send you a comforter. I'm going to send you somebody that's going to comfort you. The third person of the Godhead. Who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does nothing but to edify and build up Jesus Christ. That's what he comes to. He comes to teach us, to show us. I've got some scriptures I want to read. And if I can, I want you to know that I'm only seeing out of one eye right now. So I'm just still believing that God, the devil, I'm going to tell you, the devil will attack you in any way to stop you. And I believe that's what's happening in my life. But I'm going to keep putting one foot in front of the other, praise God. Because I know what God can do. I know what God can do. I know how God heals. I know because it says at the cross, when Jesus died upon that cross, those stripes that he took on his back were for our healing. When I go to the cross, I not only receive forgiveness for sin, but I also receive the promise of healing in my body. Because why? Because his word tells me. I'm going to say something. I'm going to share this with you. You'll say, I don't agree with you, preacher. And that's okay. I'm not asking you to agree with me. I'm going to ask you all a question. And I've done this before. What color is that wall? What color is it? It's white. Right? The wall is white. But let me ask you a question. What if God was standing here before you and he said that wall is black? Think about it. Do I believe what I see? Or do I believe what God's telling me? You see, sometimes we want to operate on what we see. You understand what I'm saying? If I see this happening, then I'll believe it. But what if God's word tells you this and this and this? Then I've got to believe what God's word says, not what a man is telling me, not what I see. Because you see, my spirit will deceive me. Are you hearing me? My spirit will deceive me. But God's word will not deceive me. God's word will always lead me into the truth. And if I can take his word and stand on it. I've seen where this last week I had the opportunity, and my daughter in Bisbee attends the first assembly down there, and they were in revival. And I'm going to tell you, they had revival. When's the last time you've seen somebody filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit? When's the last time? Stop and think. But they had about 4 or 5 during that revival down there, baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I look at it and I think, Lord, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with us? Have we been rocked to sleep by the world? Because I see churches now that are allowing, and pastors are preaching for abortion instead of against abortion. I see pastors and congregations that are believing the things of the world instead of the things. They have conformed to the ways of the world instead of conforming to the ways of God. And we need to wake up and say, we got a task set before us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Shall not perish. But have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God loves the world. Who is the world? It's every living soul. God loves every living soul, no matter who they are or where they're at or what they've done. God loved you one day, long time ago, somewhere along the line. He loved you so much that He loved you into the kingdom. And the Spirit of God convicted you of the things of sin in your life. And He continuously works in your life. How many of you know that? Just because you have a definite work that takes place at salvation or sanctification. Sancta means to separate. And so you're separated from the world and separated unto God. That's who we are. We've been sanctified and set aside by the Holy Spirit. Cleansed by the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then it appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. One sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It don't say that one or two were done. It says all 120, all were filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, I couldn't fathom something like that. We get thrilled when we get four and five filled with the Spirit, or two filled with the Spirit. We get excited. How exciting it would be to be in a room with 120 and everybody. You say, that would be mass confusion. No, where God's at. When God is present, it's not mass confusion. It's a liberty and freedom that we have in the Holy Spirit. The liberty and freedom we have to allow God to use us as vessels to bring forth. The Bible tells us that the gifts of the Spirit are for edification of the body. Why do we have the gifts? We don't see the gifts in operation in churches today. Why? Because the devil doesn't want it to be used. I'll tell you that right now. Because the gifts edify. Edify means it builds up the body of Christ. It brings us closer together. It unifies us. It makes us a full body. I believe when God looks down on the body of Christ, you know what He sees? He don't see you and me and anybody sitting here or other individuals. But what He sees is Jesus Christ. Because that's who we are. You know, John 14, 17, 18 says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I come to you. Jesus did not leave us as orphans. He said the Holy Spirit lives within us. Now, that's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's an indwelling of the Holy Spirit that takes place in our lives when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Spirit dwells in us. How do I know that? Because after I got saved, there was things that came up to my life that God was still dealing with. And who do you think dealt with me about it? The Holy Spirit dealing within my life, living within me. Because I am the temple. I am the temple of God. I am the temple of God. And this temple needs to be clean and cleansed. The Spirit of God cannot live in a temple with the devil. They cannot live together. And things that you say, well, I've got this problem. And I've had people say, well, I can't get it because all you've got to do is get on your knees before the throne of God and ask the Lord to cleanse you, to clean you, to prepare you, your temple, for a place for the Holy Spirit to dwell. What a time that was. And you know where I got saved? I didn't get saved at an altar in a church. And we need the altars back in the church, by the way. Because that's where the tears on the altar is what brought some loved ones in. The time that was shed at that altar with, and kneeling and praying and the tears, crying out for salvation. But not only that, crying out for salvation for our loved ones and our children. How many of you got children and grandchildren that are out there that are in the world? And you know that. And I know it. And we pray for ours every day. I pray for them every day. And I pray for this church. We every morning in our devotions, we pray for people, our church brothers and sisters. Why? Because it's prayer that's going to touch the heart of God. It's prayer that's going to touch the heart of God. We need to get back to praying and seeking the face of the Lord and allowing the Holy Spirit to move and do. I God has stopped me from preaching sometimes. In the middle of it, He stopped me and let the Holy Spirit just move. And God worked. And God did works. Why? Because we got to be sensitive. Not only is the pastor got to be sensitive, not only do I got to be sensitive, but you got to be sensitive to what the Spirit of God is telling you in your life. Because it's the Spirit of God that is in control of our services. And if the Spirit, like I said before, wherever the Spirit is, there is liberty. There is liberty. And the Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, 11, 13, that one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. As who wills? As the Spirit wills, not as I will. Listen to me. You disagree with me, that's all right. You can. That's your privilege. But you do not have a gift in you and can't control a gift. The gifts of the Spirit are controlled by the Spirit. And used as individuals in the body of Christ for edification when He desires and it needs to be done. Whether it's a message in tongues, interpretation, whether it's prophecy, whatever it is, it has to be, the Spirit has to move. You cannot control that. You cannot control the gift of healing. If the power of God comes upon you to pray for people, you'll know the difference. And when the gift of healing comes on you, or the gift of faith, your faith is so strong that you could believe that a wall can be torn down and put back up by your mind. Why? Because of faith in you, believing in truth in the Word of God. It's the Word of God and the Spirit moving upon the Word of God that's going to bring the church through all of this. I don't know, and I don't believe we're going to go through tribulation. Some people do. Some believe in mid-trib, post-trib, whatever. That's your privilege to believe what you want to believe. Now, if the rapture don't take place in the middle of until the middle of tribulation, then I'm still going to go up. Why? Because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe in pre-trib. I believe that the church is going to be taken out of this earth before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to come and take the church out. And when He takes the church out, so He's not going to touch earth. Some people want to say that's the second coming of Christ. That is not the second coming of Christ. Because He does not touch earth. He touches earth at the end of tribulation. And that is the second coming of Christ. That is the second coming. But I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but when I see what's going along in prophecy being fulfilled all the way around the world and everywhere, praise God, I know what's down the line. I know Jesus is coming back. I know He's coming for His church. His church! Hallelujah. His church without spot, without a wrinkle. He's not going to come back for a church that is wallowing in the world and out of the world. He's coming back a church that is a church of holiness. We don't want to hear that word in the day we're living. Holy, holy, holy. Oh, no. I remember we had to wear long sleeves, the ladies were saying. We couldn't cut our hair. We couldn't wear jewelry. We couldn't do this. We couldn't do that. Men even wouldn't wear ties because it was an attraction deal. And man wouldn't wear wedding rings. Dear Lord, help us. Help us to understand that holiness is not how I dress, how I appear. It's what's in my heart and my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and my relationship with God and how I allow the Holy Spirit to move in my life. I need to know. I personally as a pastor, I need to get back to that point where I am sensitive to what God is doing. I need to get back to that point that I'm not afraid to come into church and think, well, I'm just going to sit here and go through a routine. I don't want to go through a routine. I don't want to go through a routine. I want to see a move of God. I want to see the power of God. And I believe in these last days before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe there's going to be healings take place. There's going to be miraculous things take place because God is preparing the body for the coming of His Son, Jesus Christ. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. Jesus didn't even know. You know why I know that? Because he said, when he was asked, he said, only the Father in heaven knows. Only God knows when Jesus is coming back. Only the Father knows. And when God looks at Jesus and says, Son, and he said, it's time. Jesus is going to stand up and we're going to see him in the air. Hallelujah. And those saints of God, glory to God, will rise to meet him in the twinkling of an eye when we change from a physical body to a spiritual body. The dead that have gone on before that knew Jesus Christ will rise out of the grave. Hallelujah. What a time that will be. What a time that will be when we come and reunite with our Lord and our Savior. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say something. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're all like a stump on the log just sitting there. Man, hallelujah. Just think that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for you and for me. Hallelujah. Galatians 5:22. Now the Lord is a spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We have liberty to yield. Liberty for the Spirit to move upon us. Liberty for the Spirit to use us in the gifts, the 9 gifts. And not only that, but the Spirit also is the one that works in our lives and brings the fruit of the Spirit, which is in Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit. All the fruits of the Spirit are there for us. Hallelujah. How? By the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. He's transforming us. As the day of salvation, at rebirth, when we became a new child in Jesus Christ, old things were done away. All things became new. Hallelujah. We became a new creature. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The sin fell off. And was thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. Hallelujah. And God said, I set you free. And hallelujah, there was those. How many remember the day when they come to the altars and they weeped for salvation? When they cried and they didn't leave until midnight maybe and 1 o'clock in the morning. How many remember that? And they weeped at the altars and there were individuals, the saints, who would gather around them and pray them. We called it praying them through. Praying them through. Touching them. Hallelujah. How many of you ever been slain in the power? Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you the first time it ever happened to me. I seen it happen. And one day I was going through a real trial and I went to a conference and they asked of everybody to come up. And when everybody come up, man, I was standing there and I weighed almost 300 pounds then. That was a big thump. Hit the floor. Probably shook the whole church. But I'm going to tell you what a glorious thing that was for the power of God to slay me in the Spirit. And I was preaching in college one time. I got so drunk in the Spirit, I felt the power of God was moving, and I was down behind the altar, and I couldn't get up. I mean, the pulpit, and I couldn't get up. I rolled from one side to the other side. And you know what it reminded me of when I was out there in the world and I get a drunk on? And I couldn't stand up. But this drunk, hallelujah, I was drunk in the Spirit. I couldn't stand up. How many would like to just feel something like that? Know the presence of God. But I'm telling you, the presence of God and the Holy Spirit is real. And don't let nobody tell you anything else. It is real. And where the Spirit of the Lord, there is a liberty. There is a freedom. I thought, well, I've seen people dance down the aisle. I'm going to pick on Tina and them. Because I can remember her mother. Oh, hallelujah. The saints of old that have gone on. I can remember her mother with her hands up, praising God. With her eyes shut, dancing down the aisle and around the church. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you, that inspires me. That God is real. And the Holy Spirit is real. And those saints that knew it. Those saints that were touched. Those saints that were blessed. Healings took place. You didn't have to lay hands on somebody. Sometimes they'd get out and walk down the aisle. The Lord would heal them as they was coming down. Heal them in their seat. Because the power of God was so present and precious in that service. I'm telling you, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Can he know them? Because they are spiritually discerned. We cannot discern the things of God without the Holy Spirit. When you read the Word, how many of you ever read the Word and read it and then read it and read it, and all at once, this one time you read it and boom, something jumps out all over you and just shows you, and you say, oh, do you know what happened then? The Holy Spirit came on the scene and caused your mind to be able to receive. The Spirit interpreted it for you. He can interpret the Scriptures. He can set your feet upon higher ground. Hallelujah. And he can set your feet to dancing. Have you ever danced in the Spirit? Boy, I'm going to tell you, if you've never danced in the Spirit, I'm telling you, I'm telling you, you know what? I never danced in my life. I went to dances and went on the side. Now, I ain't going to tell you why I went to the dances for. But I would sit along the wall. I always had three or four girls standing around me. You know, I had another reason to go to the dances. But this dance I'm talking about, this dance is one when you get with the Holy Spirit. And one time, it never happened to me, but one it did. I danced down that aisle and danced around that church. And I'm going to tell you, I got to the front. And when I got to the front of the church, I just fell down. The Spirit of God was there. I'm going to tell you, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Are you hungry? Are you hungry for the presence of God? Are you thirsty? Are you want the Spirit of God to move in your lives? 1 Corinthians 12:27-31 says, know you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed those in the church. He's appointed apostles and prophets and teachers and miracles and gifts of healing, helps of administration, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, all workers of miracles, do all gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you more eventual, excellent way. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us a fear. Have you? You know, the first time I ever was used in a message in tongues, it was in a service, and I hadn't been serving the Lord and hadn't been filled with the Spirit for very long. And I was sitting there in the church, and the power of God was moving. And our pastor, I remember Brother Martin standing up there, I remember him saying, let's just all stand and praise the Lord. And we all stood and praised the Lord. And all of a sudden I heard this voice coming forward and giving this thing, and thus saith the Lord. And I think, thus saith the Lord. I thought, oh, that was me. It just come. I don't have to practice it. You know, you don't receive the baptism by somebody standing in front of you saying these words. Say these words. Say these. That's garbage. I'm sorry. That is garbage. If you are sanctified and your temple was clean, because we are the temple of the living God, if your temple was clean, the Holy Spirit can come in and fill you and give you that prayer language. See, what you receive is a prayer language. Your prayer language, you pray in that language. And then later on, I'm going to tell you though, that day, and then we heard the interpretation of that message. And I said, thus saith the Lord. And I said, oh Lord. Not only did I give the message, but I interpreted it. The first time. And it was something down inside of me, bubbling. However many of you have ever been there, when that bubbling feeling comes down into here, it just seems to come up. It just seems to come up. And the Holy, you know that God is about to do something. And God's about to do something in your life. I'm telling you, that is a tremendous feeling to know that God is going to use you. How many want to be used to God? I want to be used of God. What a feeling that is, to know and be used of God. To feel His presence. To feel His presence. Oh, hallelujah. My daughter called me yesterday. She said, Dad, I got a question. I said, yes, what is it? She said, well, we had a message in tongues given in our service. I said, okay. Was it interpreted? She said, yes. Because you see, if a message is not interpreted, you don't give another message. That's scriptural. And you only give messages to three. In the order of three. If anything over, there's churches that go out here, everybody has a message. That's what he's talking about when I read the scripture. Everybody has a tongue, everybody has a prophecy. No, that is, God has given us a set way of the Spirit to move. And we have authority in that. We have authority in that. To be able to move in that area. You know what? I'm not even near the sermon yet. So you guys better hold on to your seat. I'm just giving you the preamp here. But God wants to use you. God wants to use every one of you. God says, I've got something for you. Do you know the gifts and callings of God? The Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. If you backslid on God and went back out into the world, you know the gifts of God that God has placed in your life are without repentance. God will not take them back. Something about that. And the gifts that He uses you in, He won't take them back. And the calling on your life, it's to minister, He won't take that back. That's always going to be on your life. Boy, you're awful quiet. I hope I'm not rocking you to sleep. For the gifts and callings. The keeper of the king's oil. You know, oil represents the Holy Spirit. Mostly all through the Bible. The oil. The keeper. In Chronicles 27, verses 25 and 28, we come across a man by the name of Joash. And it said, over the sellers of oil, as Joash in chapter 23 of the same book, King David, who is now very old, and knowing that he will not be living much longer, makes Solomon king over Israel. He then begins to prepare things in the kingdom that his son may have a peaceful and successful reign. And on a certain day, David gathered all the people that were working in the kingdom of Solomon, and he read the first list of appointments, making each person aware of what they would be doing. In this particular day, all of the big and prestigious jobs had been appointed. And then down toward the bottom of the list came the job, keeper of the cellars of oil. And the name called was Joash. You know, you can imagine the disappointment when Joash went home and told his wife, who was expecting, because they knew what David was doing. Expecting something great. And for Joash to come home, probably with his head hanging down, walking in, and his wife saying, "What job did you get? What job did you get?" And he mumbles, "I'm the keeper of the oil in the cellar." "What?" "I'm the keeper of the oil in the cellar." She was expecting great things, probably. But he was the keeper of the oil. And the oil in that musty, dark basement. You know, basements have a musty smell to them anyhow. But just think what it must have been smelling like with the oil. But there's something we need to understand. His place of service, as low as a person could work in a palace, and David appointed Joash. The lowest place was the basement where the oil was kept. There they had big casks and barrels of oil. It was so damp and dirty place, you know, and the oil's hard to get off. How many of you know that? You change your oil. You ever get oil on your, you change an oil on your car, and you make a mistake, and the oil runs down your arm. And it's terrible. Terrible. And then it said his eyes would squint from climbing out of the cellar into the brightness of the sunlight. I know people who only want to serve the Lord in these high places. But the highest position you can hold is to be where God has placed you. Where God has placed you. Not wanting somebody else's position. And I'm still talking about the Holy Spirit here. It may be not a pleasant place. You may be the keeper of the bathrooms. And it's all right, because that's where I started out as. Pastor said, "I need somebody to help clean the church and the restrooms and that." And, of course, I was working as a custodian at Bisbee High School. Who was the best nominated person? Me. And I was, at that point, the Lord had grasped a hold of my life. But you see, I didn't come to the Lord until I was 30 years old. And I lived the life out there in that world. And I don't want to tell you all the places and the things I've done and how God delivered me. I can remember my mother's prayer was, "God, don't let him get drunk when he comes back here to visit. Don't let him go out drinking." That was my mother's prayer. But my mother knew I got saved, but she never knew I went into the ministry. And my dad never knew either one. But my dad told my brother-in-law, said, "One of my sons," and there was five of us, "is going to be a preacher." And my brother-in-law looked at my dad and said, "My oldest brother's name." And my dad said, "No." He said, "You don't mean Arnie." He said, "Yes." Before my dad, I even become a minister, my dad said, he knew I was going to be a preacher. And I didn't know it until after I told my sister I was going to be a preacher. Then she told me the story. So the story had no bearing on me becoming a preacher. It was a confirmation some time that God was telling me. And some of you may think I'm not a preacher. That's all right. I've been told that before. It don't make no difference. I know what God has called me to do. You know, we've got pleasantries mixed up with the will of God. We think that we ought to enjoy being in a certain place if we're in the will of God. We think that everybody should like us and will live in the best house and have the best pay. But that's not necessarily true. But there will be an inner place that comes from knowing that you are in the will of the Heavenly Father. No matter what you have surrounding you, no matter what's going on in your life, we ought to trust the Holy Spirit. He places us with precious treasures of the Holy Spirit. I want God's power in my life, in our church. But He is going to be there when we will, because of us. We come into this church and we bring the presence of God. Or we do not bring the presence of God. We bring the Spirit of God with us. Why? Because He dwells in us. Like I said, that indwelling of the Spirit. I used to see people that weren't baptized in the Spirit going to the altars all the time. I don't see it anymore. Now, it may be happening in the young people. I don't know. But I do know this. It needs to happen in the old people. And if we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then we need to come back to the altar and get a refilling. How many know what I'm talking about? I can ask you the last time when you knelt and prayed in tongues. When's the last time you prayed, set God down and prayed in the presence of the Lord in your home? When's the last time that you allowed God to move in your life? Sometimes we need to get refilled. Retouched, if you want to put it that way. He's a gentleman. He will not impose Himself upon anyone. He will not force Himself on you. The Holy Spirit will not force the gifts on you. You have to become a willing vessel. Willing. Jesus was a man of many sorrows. He came to be smitten, but not the Holy Ghost. He can be grieved and offended. How many know you we can grieve the Holy Spirit? I think sometimes we grieve Him as individuals and we grieve Him as a church by not yielding to what He wants to do. The person of His service. It wasn't just Joash was a keeper of the oil that made his job also special. Because you see, the oil was precious in the king's house. It lighted the lamps, the altars, the cooking. The oil was used for everything in the king's house. Everything in the king's house. It was precious because the king was precious. Is Jesus precious to you? The Holy Spirit is precious. We are a keeper of the Holy Spirit. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We're a keeper of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's our responsibility to build ourselves up spiritually. Build ourselves up spiritually. How? By reading the Word. By praying. By seeking God. By in our prayer time allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through us. As we cannot pray and know what to pray for. And allow the Spirit of God to pray in our prayer language to God, even ourselves, in your car, in your house, wherever you are, allowing the Holy Spirit, yielding to the Holy Spirit. We're a keeper. We can either stop it, or we can allow it to move. Allow Him to move in our lives. Because it's the king's service that we are involved in. I am involved in the service of the King, King Jesus. Hallelujah. When Jesus laid aside the royal scepter and laid it in a feed trough after he was born of a virgin, he was in the will of the Father. He was in the will of the Father. He was surrounded by primitive conditions, nothing pleasant about it, but he had the place of knowing that he was doing what God intended for him to do. The story of Elijah at the brook, and I won't get into all that. He greeted in 1 Kings chapter 17 how God worked with him and how the Spirit of God fed him at the brook with ravens. You ever stop and think about that? The ravens fed Elijah at the brook. Where did they get the food? Because the only thing ravens and crows will do is what? They eat roadkill. I thought about that. Man, wonder where they got the food. I won't know, though, until I get to heaven to be with the Lord. Then I won't care. I won't ask him anymore. Jewish have been appointed over a very special, precious substance. Like I said, the oil was used for the king's food. It was used to heat the palace. It was used to light the lamps and the altar. And it was the responsibility of one man. One man. His workplace may have been not the glamorous, but his purpose was special. Without him, there would have been a lack of the precious commodity. You and I are likewise our guardians, a very precious substance. The Bible says, "Know ye that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He that will defy this temple, him will God destroy." If you defile the temple, which you are, says God, will destroy you. That's God's word. It's not my word, it's God's word. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And whatever you do, it's because you're totally in love with Jesus. Totally in love with Jesus. Being an usher for the King, be a custodian for the King, be a singer or a teacher for the King, or be just a one like Bob back there, jack of all trades for the King. For the King's house. Because you see, this building, this church, is God's house. This belongs to God. It don't belong to you. It don't belong to me. And it don't belong to the Church of God. It's God's house. Church of God may say they hold the title on that to it. It still don't belong to them. It belongs to God in Jesus. And Jesus comes, would you ever stop and think about this? Every church where the Spirit of God is and where there is liberty and freedom, wherever church where there is freedom, Jesus is present. Do you know that Jesus is present right here? Why? Because we have come together in unity in the body of Christ, and we are all baptized into the body. How? By the Holy Spirit. Into the body of Christ. We all become one in a unity of the body to what? To edify, to help each other, to be what? Keepers of the oil of the Holy Spirit, to move in our service and to touch individuals. God gave his all for us. Can you give your all for him? That's a question I ask you this morning. Are you giving your all for him? If you want to see the move of the Holy Spirit, are you giving your all? Are you praying at home? Are you seeking? Are you a real keeper of the oil of the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you really a keeper? As I close here this morning, it says we are keepers of the oil. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. We are not in the cellar, but we're on the first floor in the King's house. We must continue searching for our calling in the King's house. That appointment comes by the Holy Spirit, which is our calling. So in a sense, we are the keepers of the oil. Acts 2, 38 and 39. And Peter said to them, and I'm going to close with this verse, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise what? The promise that Jesus gave and said, I am sending you a comforter. The promise is unto you and unto your children and unto all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God shall call. There's a church that will say that the Holy Spirit baptism was for the early church. It's for us today. That scripture tells us it's for all generations, for your children, for all that are called. Hallelujah. Who's called? Every person that receives Jesus Christ as their Savior is called. They're called by the Spirit of God to come and receive what? To receive Jesus into their lives and repent. Every individual is called. I'm not talking about being called to a ministry. I'm talking about being called to salvation. Jesus said, the first scripture I read this morning said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He has called our whole world to repentance. He's called the whole world to repentance. And those that are called are all of us. So this morning, I pray that God has challenged you, because I'm challenged. I'm challenged as a minister of the gospel. I know what God can do. I know God healed me, my heart, going down a corridor. And I'm going to tell you, there's times I was laying in bed just the other night. There's times we don't know when God has protected us. We don't know when God has moved cars out of our way or things out of our way. When I worked in the mines, I got caved in on. And my partner was going to leave me. And I said, Pancho, get me out of here. He took I'd call it a board, I'll tell you what. But he lifted that up and I was on it. My leg was hung in behind timber. He lifted me up. And I weighed about over 200 some pounds in. But he lifted me up the whole way up, to where I could pull my leg out and carry me down 40 feet on ladders on his shoulders. And when I got down, the night foreman came in. And when the night foreman came in, they went to climb up in there where we were mining. They couldn't get up there. The whole place had caved in. If my partner would have left me there, I wouldn't be here today. God brought me out of there. God brought me out of there. So many times in my life, working in the mines, I came very close. I almost fell down 100 foot, what they call a dump hole. I straddled a rail. If I'd have went between the two rails, I'd have fell 100 foot. My foot slipped, was wet. My foot slipped and I straddled that rail. My partner that I was working with had to come and get me out. I could have fell 100 foot. They had a big rake down below, raking. They never would have seen me. I'm telling you, I know God says, you're not done with you yet. I got something for you, young man, whether you like it or not. And that's the same way he's just saying to you today, this morning. Yield to me. Yield to me. Come to me. Come to me. Whatever you need, come to me. If you're sick in body, come to me. The word says to call forth the elders of the church and anoint them and pray for a prayer of faith. Come to me. I'm going to ask my wife to come up to the piano. I always believe in giving an altar call. I don't know whether you have a need, whatever your need may be. Whatever's going on in your life. Will you play that song again? I will not be denied. I don't know where you are, and I don't know who you are, and I don't know what you've been, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit or not. I don't know. But every time we come to church, if you're not baptized in the Spirit, you ought to be coming forward to be prayed for. Where are you at this morning? Do you need prayer? You know, don't let the devil stop you. Let's just stand. Let's sing that. Hallelujah. Tell them this morning. Tell them you will not be denied. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, whatever you have, whatever you have, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I will not be denied. Do you have a need this morning? You need to be prayed for? Don't hesitate. Take a step of faith. Just step out by faith. Hallelujah. Step out. God's here. God wants to touch you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. No, Father, I will not be denied. Whatever you have, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.